Please stand by. Welcome, and thank you for joining us for today's IBM teleconference, How to Automate DB2 Utility Jobs. Today's teleconference will last approximately 60 minutes and will include a live question and answer session. In this teleconference, we'll discuss some of the latest features of the DB2 Utility Suite for ZOS. You'll learn which DB2 utility jobs can be automated to conduct routine maintenance, which helps reduce the cost of doing business. The speaker for today's teleconference is Hawken Roberts, Senior Technical Staff Member, DB2 Service and Development, and Jennifer Nelson, Product Specialist, Rocket Software. At this time, I'd like to turn it over to our first speaker for today, Hawken Roberts. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much. Today, we're going to be starting by taking a look at recent enhancements to DB2 for ZOS utilities. Moving to slide 2, the agenda will be to take a look at availability enhancements, followed by performance enhancements, features and new function in version 9, and new enhancements that have been provided in the maintenance stream by DB2. And we'll finish with a summary before handing over to Jennifer Nelson to talk about the DB2 automation tool for ZOS. Moving on to slide 3, in terms of availability for DB2 for ZOS utilities, it's obviously key to ensure that DB2 utilities are as non-disruptive as possible in terms of both availability and, I might add, in terms of cost regarding CPU and elapsed time. And we'll talk a bit more about that a bit later on. There are a number of enhancements that we made over the years that have been exploited by DB2 utilities in this area. One of the enhancements was the introduction of shadow page set technology, which effectively provided us with share level change capability for a number of utilities. Second was the introduction of claim and drain processing, which has allowed DB2 utilities to break in effectively seamlessly on online transactions that are running. The third is the exploitation of uncommitted read processing, particularly against catalog objects, to ensure that utilities are able to run without any impact or as little impact as possible against online applications. And, by the way, it's used for the RunStats utility when gathering statistics when RunStats runs share level change. You can see the last three bullets on this particular slide show a general progression of how we provide function with respect to DB2 utilities. Typically, it's key that we ensure maximum availability from day one. However, there are circumstances where it becomes necessary to ship the initial function even though it has some availability impact, in which case it may potentially be shipped with a share level none feature, which says that the utility will run, but there will be no access to the data while that utility is running. And then it will be enhanced to allow read access to the data while the utility is running. And then the holy grail, of course, is to be able to provide share level change capability, where you effectively have full update access to the data while the utility is running, except for potentially the need to drain everybody off for a short period of time in order to effect a switch for such things as the reorg utility in DB2. And a typical example of this progression would be the reorg capability for lob table spaces in DB2, where lobs were introduced in version 6 of DB2 in 1999, and although we had the ability to reorganize lob table spaces, that reorg ran share level none and there was no access to the lob data while the reorg was running. In version 9 of DB2, we provide share level reference capability for reorg of lob table spaces, allowing read access to the data while the reorg is running. And going beyond version 9, we expect to provide full share level change capability for reorg of lob table spaces. So the bottom line is, today, there isn't much that cannot run share-level change in DB2 utilities. The reorg of log table spaces is just about the only restriction that we currently have there. Moving on to slide 4, if we take a look at what's changed recently in terms of availability, we have the ability in version 9 of DB2 to to allow online create or rebuild of non-unique indexes. So we provide rebuild index share level change capability in version 9. And by the way, as I go through these slides, you will note that some of the bullet points have APARs associated with them and some of them do not. The ones that do not have APARs associated with them are enhancements that are available in base version 9 of DB2. So we have the ability to seamlessly create or rebuild non-unique indexes through rebuild index share level change. The next availability enhancement is the elimination of the outage for reorg at the part level if you have non-partitioned secondary indexes. In version 8 and prior releases of DB2, there was a build 2 phase in order to correct the logical partitions of the non-partitioned secondary index. In version 9 of DB2, from conversion mode onwards, the build 2 phase has been eliminated. There is no build 2 phase anymore. Instead, what we do is we shadow the non-partitioned secondary index and process the whole of the non-partitioned secondary index as part of the reorg at the partition level. The next enhancement provides the ability to avoid reorg altogether. So from an availability and, of course, a performance point of view, the best utility run is the one that you don't have to run at all. And if you are reorging your partition simply in order to get compressed data in that partition, for example, you have a partition table space that is partitioned by date or timestamp, and you simply wish to insert into new partitions, you might want that data to be compressed. And prior to version 9 of DB2, the only way you can get compression is either by load or by reorg. And we had a number of customers who complained saying that we're effectively forcing them to reorg their data simply in order to compress it. Well, with these two APARs, PK63324 and 63325 in version 9, we provide a new parameter for the load utility called copy dictionary. And copy dictionary simply allows you to load into an empty partition. And although we aren't loading any data at all, we're simply allowing you to copy a compression dictionary from another partition into a new empty partition of the partition table space. So this way you can avoid running the reorg simply in order to compress the partition table, the new partition of the partition table space. And that then allows you to continue your insert processing and get compressed data. So effectively we're allowing pre-allocation of compression dictionaries for compressed partition table spaces. Other enhancements that were introduced in version 9, we provide online data consistency checking and repair. So check data and check log have been enhanced to provide share level change support. Prior to version 9, we had check index share level change, and that capability has simply been extended to check data and check log. There's also an enhancement to the repair utility to allow share level change capability there using LLOCs rather than drain claim processing. We also allow, the last bullet on slide 4, we also allow data consistency checking through check index, check data, and check log to run without impacting backup system or any disk or DASD mirroring capability through XRC or PPRC. Through an APAR PK41711, which introduces a new ZPARM that will allow you to direct the flash copy that we take for check index share level change, for example, outside of the copy group that's being used for XRC or PPRC, or indeed for backup system and restore system. Moving on to slide 5, further enhancements in version 9 of DB2 in terms of availability are the ability to replace data with virtually no outage by using a clone, which effectively gives us load replace share level change capability. But bear in mind that this is only for UTS table spaces, only for universal table spaces, which are new in version 9 of DB2. I mentioned before that we provide reorg share level reference for log table spaces in version 9. and another availability enhancement is the ability to recover to any point in time with consistency. So prior to version 9 of DB2, if you wanted to recover to a particular RBA or to a particular log point, we would recover you to that point regardless of whether there were any in-flight or uncommitted units of work at that point in time in the log. In version 9 of DB2, the recovery utility will determine what units of work were active against that page set at that point in time and will roll back the necessary updates. So if you were in the habit of running periodic quiesces against your data simply in order to have a consistent point in which to recover back to, then there's no need to do that anymore, because you can simply run a recover to a prior point in time specifying a list of objects, and at the end of the recover, those objects will then be consistent. Moving on to slide 6. Now switching gears and talking a bit about performance. Even though, for example, the copy utility is able to run share level change and effectively be completely non-disruptive, performance is still important to us in terms of DB2 development and in terms of customer requirements. So if we take a look at the different aspects of performance, elapsed time and CPU cost, we have a number of DB2 enhancements where we continue to drive down both elapsed time and CPU, and we'll take a look at some of those in the next couple of slides. We also take advantage of ZOS and architecture improvements, for example, in the area of using hardware instructions for such things as compression. And in terms of elapsed time, if we're talking about reducing elapsed time to a quarter or a fifth of what it was previously, then those sort of enhancements are typically only going to come from further exploitation of parallelism within DB2 utilities. There's work that has to be done by the utility, and if we want to get that work done sooner in a much shorter period of time, then we have to look at ways that we can perform that work in parallel. In terms of CPU cost, other than the DB2 enhancements and the ZOS and architecture improvements, we may also see going forward further exploitation of ZIP processors. So the total CPU may be the same, but a larger proportion of the work being done by DB2 utilities could potentially be offloaded onto ZIP processors. Moving on to slide 7, if we take a look at what's changed recently in terms of performance, we have faster reorgs in version 9 of DB2, particularly for partitioned page sets, because we now have the ability to unload and reload partitions in parallel. We also have parallel log apply, which provides for a greater likelihood of reorg keeping up with logging rates, if that happens to be a problem today. Parallel log apply can be viewed as something similar to fast log apply for the recovery utility, which we've had since version 6 of DB2. So parallel log apply will benefit not only reorg of partition table spaces, multiple partitions in a partition table space, but other table spaces also. We have faster check index share level reference processing by exploiting further parallelism there in version 9 of DB2. We support large block interface for image copies to tape, which we have seen give us up to a 40% faster copy utility when image copying to tape, and also, of course, when reading back on the restore phase of the recovery utility. Another enhancement is to reduce the impact on applications when running the copy utility by ensuring that the pages that are read into the buffer pool by the copy utility do not take precedence over pages that are read into the buffer pool by online transactions. So therefore, the copy utility is now going to be using a most recently used algorithm for buffer management so that we can improve the buffer pool hit ratio for online transactions. Finally, on this slide, we want to reduce the impact of applications on applications when we're running load and reorg utility, and we can do that by ensuring that indexes which are temporarily rebuild pending caused by load and reorg, when the rebuild pending state is removed, we will automatically invalidate cache dynamic statements so that dynamic statements can be re-prepared and the index can then be chosen by the optimizer for access path. Moving on to slide 8, further enhancements primarily provided in the maintenance stream is the ability with sort num elimination, which was provided early in 2008 via the maintenance stream in version 8 and version 9, the ability for sort num elimination to drive greater utility parallelism by having the DB2 utility determine the appropriate amount of sort workspace that should be used by the utility. So it simplifies utility processing, simplifies utility invocation, because we are no longer dependent upon customers choosing an appropriate value for sort num, but we will take that control away from customers, assuming that you set the appropriate ZPALMs that are shipped with this function. The next bullet talks about a performance improvement for the sort build phase, particularly to do with the cost of extending page sets that are open for format write processing. And we have seen some cases, as you can see in the bullet here, where during the sort build phase for indexes, if you have a small secondary quantity and we're doing a lot of extend processing, you can see a really significant performance improvement. The next bullet mentions a performance improvement for load and reorg, and you can see some of the values that we get there for reduction of both CPU and elapsed time for load and reorg. Then there's a copy utility performance improvement when copying multiple small data sets to tape, and a further copy performance improvement when processing large listdef lists. All of these performance improvements, other than the first one regarding sort num elimination, the bottom four on this particular slide are ones that you effectively get for free. You simply have to put the PTF on, and you will get whatever performance benefit you may get depending upon your environment. Sort num elimination one will require some reading, but we have seen some really good improvements in terms of performance from customers who have decided to exploit this. Moving on to slide 9, we have a cross-loader performance improvement which we provided in the maintenance stream to do with CCSID data conversion. We have a lob file reference variable performance improvement for the load and the unload utility, which we originally had intended to provide in the next release of DB2, but we then retrofitted that back down to version 9 with APAR PK75216 to do with performance improvement for load and unload of lob file reference variables for PDS members. And our initial performance testing has shown an approximate 56% reduction in elapsed time on unload, and up to 93% reduction in elapsed time for the load utility using file reference variables from PDS members. So a major performance improvement for file reference variable processing. The third bullet introduces an unload performance enhancement for multi-table table spaces where we need to access the catalog in order to acquire the table names during the util initialization phase. And by switching to access the table name information from the DVD rather than through the catalog, we had one customer who was unloading a 5,000 table, empty table space, and the performance of the util init phase went from 1.5 hours to 11 seconds. So everybody will see benefit from this, but your benefit will vary depending upon how much data is to be unloaded and how many tables reside in the table space that is being unloaded from. The final bullet is a further enhancement for reorg partition of an empty partitioned table space, where in certain circumstances we perform a scan of the non-partitioned secondary indexes, and there are cases where we can avoid that NPI scan. And in one case, we saw the sort build phase went from 15 hours down to an estimated completion of merely seconds. Moving on to slide 10, further performance enhancements. We're providing the ability to load and unload to and from a virtual file using USS-named pipes, and we're going to be providing template support for that. So now the load and the unload utility don't have to access data on disk anymore. You can get a significant performance improvement by staging the data in a virtual file in memory and then loading and unloading to and from that. A DSO and copy performance enhancement also provided. And in version 9 of DB2, RunStat has been enhanced to support histogram statistics for non-uniform data distribution. Moving on to slide 11, you can see here on this slide some significant enhancements in terms of reduction of CPU cost for version 9 utilities. In addition to that, you still get the zip enablement benefit for utility index processing that was introduced in version 8 of DB2. On slide 12, we'll now take a look at features and function. And you can see over the years on this slide that we have introduced a number of new utilities and new capabilities for DB2 utilities, and you can expect this to continue as we go forward. We need to ensure that we provide intelligent defaults. We want to simplify utility processing where possible, and yet we still need to provide our customers with the function and the flexibility that they require. We also, by the way, continue to work closely with IAM tools, and you will see further evidence of that later on in this talk. Moving on to slide 13, we have backup system and restore system enhancements. In version 9 of DB2, we provide support for backup system and restore system from tape, support for incremental flash copy for backup system. We also provide the ability to recover at the object level from a system level backup. So now the recover utility, recovering an individual object, is able to take the volume level flash copy as input that was created from a system-level backup from running the backup system utility. Recover to any point in time with consistency, I've already talked about. Also, sort num elimination, which simplifies utility invocation, was mentioned earlier in this talk also. In version 9 of DB2, we remove the restriction on reorg that restricts you from reorging more than 254 compressed partitions in a single reorg statement. There's a ZPALM that continues to restrict the load utility in version 9, and the aim is to remove that restriction in the next release of DB2 altogether. We also provide better information for DPOPR, QREP, or anybody else who is reading log records through the IFE 306 interface by writing a diagnostic log record at utility termination, so that anybody who's reading log records can determine whether a refresh of the data at the target system needs to be triggered. Moving on to slide 14, the modify utility has been enhanced so that instead of saying what recovery information should be removed, it makes more sense to talk about what we actually want to keep. So, for example, you can now specify that you want to retain all the recovery information that is covered by the archive logs that are contained within the BSDS. The next thing on this slide is that we provide for template switching for the copy utility. So in the example given here, you can image copy to disk for small page sets, but if the page set is greater than 20 cylinders in size, then we will not use template SML to store the image copy tape set. Instead, we will switch to template LRG, and template LRG will write the image copy tape set to tape rather than to disk. So the two copy statements, both of them specify a template of SML, but the final destination for the large table space will be to tape. Moving on to slide 15, further enhancements for feature function. We now permit the use of aliases for both load, run stats, and unload. So wherever today you could specify a table name, with this APAR in version 9, PK77061, you can now specify the alias name of the table rather than have to specify the table name itself. There's a new DSNACCOX store procedure which will provide enhanced recommendations for utility processing. And the recommendation is to take a look at PK44133, which contains further information about that new store procedure. The old store procedure, DSNACCOR, is still supported in version 9 of DB2 because we didn't want to cause an incompatible change for any applications which are dependent upon it. But a recommendation would be to exploit and take advantage of the new store procedure when possible. We also have more diagnostic information, which makes everybody's life a lot easier when taking a look at utility output, and that is that all utility messages and job outputs now have a Julian date and timestamp associated with them, and also the display utility has been enhanced to show the progress of log apply processing, which can be extremely difficult to determine, particularly if the log apply is, we're in the log apply phase of the recovery utility, and the log apply is processing archive logs that are on disk, or active logs that are on disk rather than on tape. Moving on to slide 16, we quickly take a look at some of the things that may be coming further down the line for DB2 utilities. We want to remove a number of usability restrictions for the reorg utility with regard to logs, with regard to pruning of PBG partitions, the partition by growth universal table spaces, remove restrictions on reorg shareable change of catalog and directory page sets, and for rebalancing. We want to further improve DB2 so that we can avoid running reorg where it's no longer necessary. We want to improve utility concurrency by removing the UT serial lock so that more utilities can run concurrently. We're going to provide further enhancements for real-time statistics, and we're going to see a further reliance and a greater reliance upon RTS information going forward. We want to take a look at providing more intelligent and autonomic statistics gathering, and there are going to be further enhancements coming further down the line in the areas of backup system, restore system, load and unload, check utility, performance enhancements for recovery, and copy utility processing. And we expect to continue exploitation of flash copy technology in terms of both performance and feature function. Moving on to slide 17, I hope that in summary you can see that there's a continuing commitment to an investment in DB2 utilities, and that is simply going to accelerate as we go forward beyond version 9 of DB2. We need to continue to ensure that utilities are as non-disruptive as possible by eliminating or minimizing whatever outages may be caused by utility runs today. We want to continue to improve performance and at the same time reduce the CPU cost of running DB2 utilities. We get input on utility enhancements from customers on almost a daily basis and from talking to customers at conferences. And so it's important to us that we continue to provide function that adds real value to our community. And we will continue to look at ways that we can reduce complexity and improve automation. And to that end, I'd now like to hand over to Jennifer Nelson, who's a product specialist who will be talking about enhancements to the DB2 automation tool for ZOS. Jennifer.
Thanks, Hawkins. I'll be covering automation tool for ZOS version 3.1 and how you can automate your routine utilities to help improve productivity in your shop and just to help free up your personnel so that they can move on to more business-critical tasks. Slide 2 is the agenda. I'm just going to really quickly touch on automation tool and what she does. And then we'll get into some profiles and how something called exception profiles are the key to automating your utilities. We'll then go through some screenshots how you would specifically do this, and then at the end we can take some questions. Going to slide 3, automation tool automatically coordinates the execution of DB2 utilities against the objects that you specify. We use something called execution profiles that are basically triggers, so that any object that hits one of the exceptions you define will have a utility created for it. You can put this exception job in your batch scheduler so that it runs on a weekly basis or a nightly basis, and then only those objects that need a particular utility generated for it will get included. The ISPF interface is used to create something called object profiles, utility profiles, exception profiles, and job profiles. Now, I know that's a lot, but let me just explain briefly. Objects profiles contain a list of objects you want to include in the utility. The utility profile is the explicit utility you want to generate JCO for. The exception profile contains those triggers that, when hit, causes an object to get generated into the JCO. And then the job profile simply is a compilation of all three of those profiles that you can generate JCO for. And Automation Tool also fully supports DB2 version 8 and version 9. Going to slide 4, Automation Tool has something called the Execution Report Started Task Job Task, and that monitors those JCL jobs that are generated by the Automation Tool and tracks which objects were generated and the utility they were generated on, any exceptions that were triggered that caused that object to get flagged, and the return code of each step and of the overall batch job. That's handy so that you can rerun that JCL or just see what happened to that JCL job. Very briefly, Automation Tool also has a data page display interface that allows you to change data directly on the DB2 data pages. We have a DB2 command processor that allows you to execute any DB2 command from a very user-friendly interface from anywhere within the tool. And a data set manager that allows you to move data sets, reallocate sizes of data sets, and things like that. On slide 5, we also have a disaster recovery feature that allows you to build backup system and restore system JCL, and you can also generate unload jobs. As I was talking about before, the profiles for objects, utilities, and exceptions are simply independent profiles that you build separately, and then you can use those within any job profile to generate any combination of JCL that you like. Object profiles can be reused. You can edit them and update them at any time. Wildcards can be used to include patterns of objects, or you can set the wildcard pattern to give you a list so that you can explicitly define how many objects to put into your utility. Utility profiles. We support all of the options for those DB2 utilities that are out on the market today. So any bell and whistle you want to set for these utilities listed here, Automation Tool has those options displayed on our panels. The utility profiles can be edited by any user so that you can share them across the department, or you can keep them secure so that only a few select personnel can edit utility profiles. The exception profile, this is actually the key to automating your job. It's a reusable list of triggers that, when evaluated against the object list you provide, will determine when the utility should run against which object. And that helps cut down on redundant utilities running at a time when it's not optimum for that object. So that saves on the personnel having to monitor objects. That saves CPU and I.O. costs. And that way your personnel, I know we're all on a shrinking budget and shrinking staff, helps to automate those utilities that you could probably do in your sleep. Job profiles are just combinations of those other utility, object, and exception profiles that you can rebuild JCL for periodically, or what most folks do is put canned JCL into their batch scheduler so that job profile gets run once a week or even on a nightly basis, and that JCL for that utility can get generated fresh with those objects that need maintenance. So as I said, exception profiles are the key to automating your utilities, and I'm going to hurry up and get through to the demo. So if you will advance, please, to slide 14, I'll show you how to create an object profile first. You provided a name. By default, your user ID is put in the creator field. Everything is editable. So if you wanted to put in your system's, your department's user ID or creator ID, that's okay too. Specify if you want to add table spaces or indexes. Volumes allows you to take everything on a specific volume, both table spaces and indexes, and put them into the object profile by default. So that's also handy if you want to do it at the volume level. Wildcarding is supported, so any qualification you want to put into the database, table space, or creator fields, you may do, and the asterisk is a wildcard character. The field wildcard allows you to tell Automation Tool to accept the wildcard as a pattern so that everything that gets matched to that pattern will get pulled into the utility. Process referentially dependent table spaces simply means that anything that matches the pattern that you specify will also have related tables pulled into the utility, so that's also very handy to have. Going to slide 17, you'll notice that the pattern I specified was for any object that was created with user ID CSKUMA, and so this is my resultant object profile. It's going to have all table spaces, wildcarding allowed, who was created by CSKUMA. So if I press Enter from here, you're going to go to slide 18, and now we'll set up a utility profile. The utility profile, again, can be named anything you'd like. The description field is optional, but the creator and profile name field are required. And press Enter to go to slide 20. Press Enter to go to slide 21. You go to the utility profile option panel, and this is where you select what utilities you want in your utility profile. You can have any combination of utilities that you'd like. The column under View Utility Options allows you to specify all of the option parameters that you want to run that utility with. So pressing Enter from here, going to slide 22, we've got an image copy that we're creating, and I'm selecting most of the default information here except for I want a full image copy, so I've gone down to full image copy and typed a Y. So if you press Enter and go to slide 23, it's going to ask you what image copies do you want. So I'm going to select a local primary and a recovery site primary. Additionally, I want to select all the options related to those data sets. So the column View Update Options also has the letter Y in it. Press Enter for slide 24. We have the following options available for image copy data sets, and you can specify threshold units so that should your data set go beyond a maximum size, then it will go to the threshold unit that you specify. Press Enter to slide 25. You can also have control over each image copy data set name, and you can do it by qualifier variables so that these variables will get resolved when the data set name is created during the image copy utility. Okay? Advance to slide 27 to create the exception profile, and advance to slide 28. We have got over 160 different exceptions that you can select from. We have statistics you can select from, the status of the objects, the status of the underlying MVS data set. We've also got various statistics that you can set for the different kinds of objects, whether they're tables, table spaces, or indexes. So if I were to select a few things here, I've got when image copy type is equal to full and days is greater than 10, trigger an image copy. So that means if the last time I took an image copy, a full image copy for my objects in my object profile was more than 10 days ago, trigger an exception so that I can generate JCL to create another image copy for those objects. Moving to slide 29. This is just a screenshot of all of those statistics, not all of them actually. This is actually still just a handful that we have within the automation tool. And if, as you're using the utility, you discover that there's an exception you'd like to have that isn't present, definitely let your sales rep know, and they can put in a request to have that added. Okay, going on to slide 31. Now we're going to create a job profile, and all we've done, as you can see under the column labeled Type on the far left-hand side of the panel, is the different kinds of profiles that we've created throughout the screenshot are being included into one job profile. What that means is the objects defined within the profile titled Full IC Profile will be included for evaluation. The utility under the profile Full IC Profile and all of her options will be included in the utility that gets generated when we build the JCL. And the exception profile titled Exception Full IC Profile contains those exceptions that I just showed you to evaluate against those objects within the profile. So if you go to slide 32, you have the option of determining if you want to build this image copy JCL online so that you can then immediately run it, or if you want to generate it in batch. We're going to go through both scenarios briefly. Online just means that the exceptions you have specified in your exception profile will be evaluated immediately, and you will get your image copy JCL with all of the resulting objects that hit the triggers generated right now. So if we press Enter, you're going to see a message that says, please wait because your job is being built online. So if we go to slide 34, you're going to get the message display that lets you know how the JCL was built. If there was a problem with any of the objects, you're going to see that. And in fact, the object that had a problem is listed in red. HAAB074E is the message ID that's telling me why an object was not included. And that's because a particular object's underlying VSAM file was missing. It wasn't in the catalog, so it's going to be excluded. But your JCL is still going to be generated. It's just not going to have that one guy in there. Message HAAB085W is just a warning. It's letting you know that a particular object, its asset was migrated, and so a space quantity was evaluated off of statistics. So if I press Enter from there, what you're going to get is the full JCL. This is the JCL that you run to get your image copies created, and this is invoking DSMutilB, as you can see. I have all of my image copy options specified between lines 132 and 140, and if I scroll down, I've removed some lines so that you can see I have several dozen objects that were triggered by that exception in the exception profile for inclusion in an image copy utility. Now, press Enter to slide 37. We're going to redo this again, but doing this in batch, and this is actually what most folks do. What's going to happen is you're going to be generating two pieces of JCL. The first JCL is going to be the batch equivalent of the online processing, where when you submit the first piece of JCL, it will evaluate the objects you have specified in your object profile against those exceptions in your exception profile, but it'll do that in batch. And this is usually what folks put in their job schedulers on a weekly basis or nightly basis, so that as this job runs, those objects that need an image copy will be triggered and we'll have routine maintenance performed on them, and no intervention from a user is required unless you just want to change the options or if you want to change the exceptions. So what I've done is created some JCL, and in the job card there's some text to help me keep straight what this JCL is doing. This job will evaluate each object and generate image copy JCL. So if I press Enter from here and go to slide 38, you're going to get a second box asking you where you want to put the actual image copy JCL itself when objects are triggered. And I've put in the job card that this is the actual image copy JCL that I'll run to image copy my objects. So if I press Enter, this is an ISR edit session that shows me the resultant JCL, and if I scroll down, you're going to see that it includes the profile name that I'm including in my batch JCL so that it knows in its repository where to go find the objects in the utility and the exception profiles I have designated with this job profile. Press Enter again to slide 41. When you submit this JCL, you're going to see some error messages that were very similar to what we saw online. If we scroll down, what you're going to see is that one object that didn't have a VSAM data set still comes out in the warning. It's just now in batch, so you'll see all this information in batch instead of seeing it online within the panels. So hit Enter again to slide 43. This is the image copy JCL that was generated by running that evaluation processing job. And you'll see my JCL called Full ICB. If we go view it, this is the actual JCL that's going to run the image copy. So if I scroll down in this job, you'll see the template and then the listdef statement that once again includes all those objects that were triggered by running that job profile in batch. So I hope that was helpful. This is just a small little bit of what Automation Tool can do for you, and I'm happy to answer any questions if anyone has some questions on how they would do additional things. There's my contact information if you'd like to have it. And back to the operator.
Thank you. Now we'd like to ask that you participate in a brief electronic survey. Right after the survey, we'll take your questions. Your feedback is important to us, and we do appreciate the time you take to answer these questions. To participate, simply press the star key followed by the number that best corresponds to your choice. Please listen to all options before making your selection. For our first question, please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. Or if it was low, press star 3. Question 2. Was the level of technical information presented in this teleconference at the right level? Press star 1. Not technical enough, press star 2. Or if it was more technical than I needed to hear, press star 3. Question 3. What is your primary version of DB2 for ZOS? If it is DB29 for ZOS, press star 1. If it is DB2 for ZOS version 8, press star 2. Or if it is DB2 for ZOS version 7, press star 3. Question 4. Are you primarily using IBM tools and utilities? If yes, press star 1. If you are using non-IBM tools, press star 2. And our final question today, we hope you'd enjoyed the teleconference. Please let us know if you're interested in receiving additional information or follow-up regarding the products discussed today. If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. That does conclude today's survey. At this time, we'd like to take your questions. If you do have a question, please press star 1 on your touchtone telephone at this time. Once again, for questions, that is star 1. We'll pause for just a moment. We'll go first to Mina Chen.
Yes, I have a question of the DB2 unload utility.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to unload the entire database, and it could have more than 100 or 200 table space. I would like to put the punch card in a PDF, and I look at the template. There is a BSN type, either equal library or PDF, but I have problem doing it. Is it possible that I can do that, or is that not an option?
Now, this is Håkon Roberts. We have a requirement to allow SysPunch to be in a PDF member. But we don't have that capability today. That's something which we're looking at potentially for release of DB2.
Oh, okay. So I have to put it in a separate – I will have to use a template, put it in a separate data set or stack them in the tape. I can't put it in the PDF.
Correct. In terms of the DB2 unload utility and template support for that,
okay,
you have to put the separate SysPunch in a separate data set rather than individual members within a PDF.
Okay, thank you very much.
We'll go next to Chilea Tsai.
Yeah, you can only generate JCO or can you generate PROC?
Is this for the automation tool?
Yes, automation tools.
You can generate procs. My examples were generating the DSNUtilB program.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go next to Tim Royer.
Yeah, this is a question for automation tool.
Uh-huh.
I'd like to know if my first question is, we're in version 2.2, and I'd like to know, will version 2.2 handle logs on every aspect of maintenance?
No, version 3.1 does.
3.1 will handle the logs?
Yes.
And the other question I have, in the exception reporting, on 2.2, I haven't seen it, but in the new version, if there has been no change in data since the last copy, can you add an exception to backups where it will skip that object for backup?
That's a good question, Tim. If you don't mind, I'd like to get your contact information, or my contact information is actually at the end of the
presentation.
Yeah. I'll go find out an answer to that, and then you can send me an email with your email address, and I can reply to you. Does that work okay?
That would be good.
Okay.
And another question, does the new version handle sequencing in the sense that if I'm running an application job and then I start up the maintenance with automation tool JCL, is there like a common DD statement that could be used between the two or that would be allocated to prevent them from colliding?
That's another good question. I'm going to have to ask about that. That's not something I've done tests for, so I can't answer just off the top of my head. So I'll go find out information about that as well.
And the last question, is there a red book, or will there be one coming out?
No, there's actually not a plan for a red book. There is a plan for a white paper. Is there something specific you'd like more information on that we should focus on?
Well, I'm going to send you an email, and I'll give you the questions I have. But I was just wondering if there was a red book to see what other people had done, how they had set up all their profiles and such.
Okay. That sounds good.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll go next to Howard Paxton.
Hello. I have two questions, if I may. One for Jennifer first.
Mm-hmm.
Job tracking.
Yes, job tracking.
If that is enabled at a shop, do operations staff need to be familiar with anything to do with the automation tool with regard to the batch schedules overnight? Certainly in our shop, and I would guess most other shops, that is a non-starter. We cannot have operations staff needing to know anything about automation tool.
Yeah, and they shouldn't need to. The job, the exception job that you put into your batch processor just simply runs as its own standalone entity. There's no intervention required by a user.
So if there was a failure in a automation tool job tracked utility overnight,
mm-hmm.
then the restart or the interface with OPC is not complicated by the fact that job tracking is activated.
You would just start over the batch job. You would just start from the beginning, and the job tracking task would know that that batch job failed to generate the, you know, utility JCL, and all it would do is just track the return code and the exception profile that was being generated. So it isn't something that a user would have to intervene with.
Yes, presumably you understand that from an operational perspective, the operations function overnight cannot afford to have to know about automation tool, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. They don't have to know anything. They can. Do they just restart jobs at your shop? Is that all they do?
Yes, but obviously we're using OPC or TWS, whatever you want to call it these days, and we don't want to have any training requirements for operations staff. They know OPC. They know how to restart a job in OPC. They know how to force complete a job in OPC. They don't want to know about the fact if a job's automation tool generated, they have to do something different.
Yeah, they wouldn't have to do anything different. There's nothing unique they would have to know about automation tool.
Okay, fine. Thank you for that.
You
the second question
mm-hmm.
Is on utilities, for Harkon. You went through quite a lot of enhancements and obviously a lot of research and development from IBM on version 9 and beyond. Have you got a brief statement on what that means for utilities enhancement and what's happening with that offering?
Yeah, in terms of the utilities enhancement tool, do you mean?
Yes.
Yeah, that continues to live and thrive, and there continue to be new enhancements going into the utilities enhancement tool. A number of those enhancements probably will never make it into the core DB2 utilities. Others may sometime in the future eventually migrate into core DB2 utilities. But there are certain enhancements which customers have requested from DB2 utilities, which it may make more sense for us to talk to the utilities enhancement tool people and simply have it implemented in the tool rather than the core utilities. So to give you one example, one requirement which we have on a fairly frequent basis is for automated management of mapping tables for online reorg, and that's something which the utility enhancement tool provides. And at this point in time, we don't have any plans to provide that within the reorg utility itself. So there are a number of value-add enhancements that exist in the utilities enhancement tool for which we have no plans to implement within DB2 utilities. And one of the reasons for that is that we'd rather expend our resource on providing solutions for which no solution exists today, as opposed to worrying about solutions which may exist but which may actually require an additional charge on your behalf.
Okay, thank you very much, Robert. Yeah, thank you very much.
We'll go next to Paul Baranowski.
Yes, hi. This question is for the automation tool. When do you plan to deliver functionality that will allow us to tie exception profiles to utility profiles?
Okay, just to make sure I heard right, because my phone blipped for a minute there, you wanted to know when or if there were plans to tie utility profiles to exception profiles?
Exception profiles to utility profiles.
Tie them in what manner?
Well, I want to be able to differentiate between the size of objects and the numbers, the percent of change pages in determining whether I want to do an incremental or a full image copy.
Uh-huh.
And currently the tool will not allow me to do that. And I understand that there's plans to allow multiple object profiles to be within a single job profile and to have different exceptions tied to those different utility profiles.
Oh, I see. So rather than running two batch jobs where one utility profile and one exception profile exists, you can have multiple utility profiles and multiple exception profiles?
Correct, and being able to tie certain exception profiles to certain object profiles.
Okay. I don't know what our plans currently are on that, but you have my email address, so what I can do is go ask the development staff if they've got something in scope like that or if this is something that they can add in the next maintenance release or next version release, something like that, and I can get you an answer that way.
Okay, and then what is the purpose of the order column that you show on your slide 31 on the job profile display?
I want to go back.
We'll move next to Paul Lynch. Mr. Lynch, your line is open.
I'm sorry, I had it on mute. I apologize. The load copy dictionary, going back to the very beginning, I caught the tail end of that. Can you explain that again?
Yeah, before we do, Jennifer, have you finished responding to the order column question?
I was actually looking for the order column. You said it was on slide 31?
Right. The previous question was asking about the order column on slide 31 and the meaning of that. I wasn't sure if that had been resolved before we move on to the next question.
Yeah, I'm not seeing the order column, but I can get with Paul Baranowski after the conference call and answer some of his questions.
Okay, So the next question then was regarding load copy dictionary. I'm sorry, could you repeat the question again?
Yes, I caught the tail end of the I was just getting signed on at the time. The load copy dictionary, exactly.
Yes.
How does that work? So, I mean, does that apply to the a new partition?
Yes, that's correct. So a typical example there would be if you have a partition table space and you have a date-based partitioning key, so you just carry on inserting into your table, and every month or every week you start inserting into a new empty partition, you may want your data to be compressed, and today the only way to get compression in DB2 is either via the load utility or via the reorg utility.
Right, that's exactly what we have right now.
Okay, so we had a number of customers who said, you know, why are you forcing me to reorg my partition just in order to get compression? You know, all I want to do is just carry on inserting into a new partition. So what we provided here in these two APARs, it, both of them for version 9, by the way. This is only version 9 capability. We didn't retrofit this back down to version 8.
That's fine.
So what we provided was a new copy dictionary parameter on the load utility. And what you do there is you say, I want to load into part 10, and part 10 has to be empty. If part 10 contains any data, then this load is going to fail. So part 10, the target partition has to be empty, and you say load copy dictionary, and you specify which partition you want to copy the dictionary from, and it'll just copy the compression dictionary from an earlier partition into the new empty partition. So you're effectively preceding or pre-allocating a compression dictionary into new empty partitions in partition table space.
Okay, that's what I thought you said. I just wanted to make double sure of that.
Yep. So you know, if you have any empty partitions today in any of your partition table spaces, and you have other partitions that are compressed, then you can use this capability to copy a dictionary into those empty partitions so that they're ready to be used.
Okay, so you don't actually have to do a load itself. You're just doing a load. Basically, you're copying the, the dictionary portion into the partition? Okay.
Yes. There's no load of data
dictionary
going on here. It's only the dictionary that's being copied.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay.
Thank you.
We'll go next to Robert Graham.
I have a utility question specifically for a image copy that's taken with share level reference and the concurrent option specified. Am I going to be able to use that output for any subsequent inputs such as DSN1 copy or a unload?
That's an excellent question. And I'm not sure about the answer. Can I ask that you send me an email with that, and I will then respond to you?
I can do that.
My email ID is Hawkon, that's HAAKON for November, at us.ibm.com.
Okay.
I can make an educated guess, but I'd have to double check, and I'd rather not make an educated guess in this environment. So I will respond with the correct answer to you.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Actually, I have another question regarding your presentation. You were talking about the recover utility, right? And if we recover to a point in time, it will roll back the uncommitted unit of works, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Right, but I'm under the impression that even today, let's assume even today if I recover a table space to an arbitrary RBA, then if there is any in-flight unit of work, it will not put those changes into the table space, even right now too, in version 7 and version 8.
No, that's not true. In version 7 and version 8, if you recover to a particular RBA or LRSN value, then we will recover you to that point in time, and we will not roll back any updates that are in flight or uncommitted at that point.
We'll only do
that in version 9.
So you mean to say that, if I recover to an RBA and if there is a like unit of work, which has only updated, but later on it's going to roll back. So if I recover it to that RBA right now, it will just have the updates, even though that. Yeah,
yes,
but actually I'm pretty positive. Like, I read the documentation for version 7. Clearly, like in an IBM training documentation I'm talking, and they specifically said that it will not put in any unit of works which are in flight. Only committed unit of works will be put in.
Well, there may be some tool that does that sort of processing,
yeah,
but certainly the recover utility itself, if you recover to a particular RBA, then I am utterly confident that it will not dynamically roll back anything that is uncommitted at the point in time that you are recovering to.
Okay.
That capability is only in version 9 of DB2. If there's some documentation that says otherwise, then send me the details in an email,
okay,
and I'll respond to you, because we will have to get that documentation updated.
Okay.
But
sure.
I'm not aware of any updates in the utilities guide and reference that state that for version 7 or version 8.
Okay, sure. Thanks.
And by the way, that's the reason why a lot of customers run periodic quiesces throughout the day so that they have a consistent point to recover to.
Okay.
Well, I mean, obviously, part of the reason for that is they want a consistent point to recover to for reference and integrity sets.
Right, right.
Not
okay.
Just for a single object.
Okay.
Okay.
We'll hear next from Deborah Brown.
Yes, this is for utilities. I have been out, it's pretty simple for you guys, I'm sure, but I have been out looking, we're using share level change, and I am trying to create a mapping table. I've been trying to go out and find where I can get, like, an example of the syntax or, the steps for creating the mapping table, and I am not finding it.
Well... That's a very good question. I'm assuming that it's documented in the utilities guide and reference. If it isn't, then it probably should be.
Well, I'm finding, when I look in there, I'm actually finding pieces, but
okay.
I'm not really finding a good example of how it actually needs to be coded.
Okay, I see. Well, it's a standard create table statement, so the columns in that table don't vary. They have to be a specific format, which is the main reason why we have customers saying, you know, if you're telling me exactly what format to specify here, why don't you just go and create it yourselves when you run the reorg utility? And that's the sort of thing that resulted in the enhancement to the utilities enhancement tool. So the utilities and hubs will go and manage these tables for you. But in terms of the definition of the table, send me an email and I will get back to you with a link to details on the format of it. Okay.
Okay. So exactly, can you answer me one more question?
Yep.
I'm actually learning DB2 at the moment, so can you tell me what is that mapping table actually used for?
Yes. So when you run reorg share level change in DB2, what happens is the reorg utility will allocate a shadow page set.
Okay.
So you can carry on updating and accessing the main table space, the main table, while we're reorging the main table into a shadow version of it, a shadow copy of the main table.
Okay.
All right? So that way there's no outage to your application while the reorg is taking place. Now, eventually, you know, after we've done the unload and the load into the shadow table, other updates could be going on to the main table. So we have to be able to apply those updates to the shadow. Right?
Okay, I've got that.
Right, so in order to apply those updates to the shadow, we need to read the DB2 log to see those updates in the DB2 log and then go and apply them to the shadow. But when we read the DB2 log records, we we see that this particular log record, this particular update to the table, was against a particular row in the original table, in the base table.
Okay.
And we have to have some way of mapping that original row to its position in the shadow table. And that's what the mapping table does. The mapping table provides a mapping between the RID, which is the position of the row in the original table, to the RID, which is the position of the row in the shadow table.
Okay.
So that's the capability, that's what the mapping table provides us with. And then once we've completed all of, you know, processing all of the log records, we then drain everybody off, and we then switch the shadow with the original, and then off you go. And the reorg effectively completes.
Okay. Well, thanks for explaining that.
Okay, no problem.
And there are no further questions at this time. Mr. Roberts, Ms. Nelson, do you have any closing comments?
No, just thanks everybody for your interest, and my email is on the end of the presentation, so if you think of something later on down the road, don't hesitate to ask.
Yes, and I concur. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. That does conclude this IBM teleconference. Have a pleasant day.
Thank you.